Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Texts 108 and 109. Jibe, Sharup, Hoy, Krishna, Nitto, Das, Krishna, Tatastha, Shakti, Bheda Bhed, Prakash, Sujangsha, Kiran, Joyche, Agni, Jala, Choi, Shabhavik, Shabhavik, Krishna, Tin, Praka, Shakti, Hoy, Jibeshwarup Hoy, Krishna Nitto Das, Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash. Sujangsha Kiran Joyche Agni Jala Choy. Shabhavik Krishna Tin Prakash Shakti Hoy. Jibe Sharup Hoy Krishna Nitto Das. Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash. Surjang Shakiran Joyche Agni Jala Choy. Shabhavik Krishna Tin Prakash Shakti Hoy. Then someone else chant.
Jiva Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das.
Jiva Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das.
Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash.
Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash.
Surjam Shakiran Jaitche Agni Jwala Choy.
Surjam Shakiran Jaitche Agni Jwala Choy.
Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das.
Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das.
Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bheda Prakash.
Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bheda Prakash.
Surjangsha Kiran Joyche Agni Jwala Choy.
Surjangsha Kiran Joyche Agni Jwala Choy.
Svabhavika Krishna Tin Prakar Shakti Hoy.
Svabhavika Krishna Tin Prakar Shakti Hoy.
Ladies, please. Matajis. Oh, you're also part and parcel of Krishna. That's the subject of the verse. Two verses. All right, I'll go ahead. Jibera, of the living entity. Sharup, the constitutional position. Hoy, is. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Nittodas, eternal servant. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Tatastha, marginal. Shakti, potency. Bheda, abheda, one and different. Prakasha, manifestation. Surja, Angsha, part and parcel of the sun. Kiran, a ray of sunshine. Joyche, as. Agni, Jala, Choy, molecular particle of fire. Shabhavik, naturally. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Tin, Prakar. Three varieties. Shakti, energies. Hoy, there are. Translation, it is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. Like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire, Krishna has three varieties of energies. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Sri Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Who am I?" In answer, the Lord replied, "You are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself and the small particles of sunshine, and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire." And that's the end of the quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada finishes the purport with one more sentence. Another explanation of these verses can be found in Adi Leela, chapter 2, verse 96. Hrishikesh Prabhu, please get me back to the notes. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manum Api Shatiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoy Vigna Binashan Anayashi Hoy Nija Vanchita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jiveshu Rup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. I presume we've all heard this statement many, many times. Precisely defines who we are. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pinpointing. Definition of who we are. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna defines what we are not. We are not the body. We've all heard that many times before. You are not that body. It doesn't sound true, does it? It seems like we're the body. But by analysis, we can understand. The body is temporary, I am eternal. But then, what am I? Krishna gives the idea, or explains that the jivas are his parts, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? First two lines explains. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The living beings, the jivas, are Krishna's eternal parts. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it crystal clear, explicit. We're part and parcel of Krishna and eternally servants of Krishna. To know this is the foundation of all that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, all that Srila Prabhupada taught, the foundation of all Vaishnava understanding. And simply to understand this constitutes self-realization. We have the science of self-realization as one book, then the quest for enlightenment. What is self-realization? It's not some nebulous mystic state, but it's to understand very clearly that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And of course, then we have to understand who Krishna is, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains to Sanatana Goswami, explains the majesty of Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna. There's one chapter in that series of talks, that series of chapters of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching Sanatana Goswami, which Srila Prabhupada, or maybe the BBT editors, titled The Sweetness and Opulence of Krishna. This statement, Jiveshwarup hoy Krishna nitya das, also distinguishes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings from those of other Vaishnav sampradayas who consider Hari Sarvottama, that is a motto of the Madhva Sampradaya. Hari is above everything and everyone. They take that to be the Narayan form. And this Jiveshwarup hoy Krishna nitya das, that very, very strongly distinguishes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings from those of the Mayavadis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not like Mayavad. So then who are we? This Sanatana Goswami asks, Ke ami? Who am I? It sounds like a silly question, doesn't it? Who am I? We often ask someone, who are you? But if you go to someone and ask, who am I? Generally that would be considered a very strange question. Sanatana Goswami's identity was previously seen as the very powerful, prestigious, respected minister in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah, very powerful and influential position. That was his identity. He'd left that identity behind and took up another identity. Often we judge people's identity by the way they dress, the way they present themselves, and people also adjust their dress and their hairstyle and to whatever, to the way they want to be seen. Which adds to the answer to the question, why am I pressing on having Vaishnav dress? People dress according to a kind of mentality, the kind of people they want to be identified with. We have punk hairstyles, that was from the 1980s, I believe, and different kinds of fashions. In the 1960s, for men to grow their hair long was a sign of protest in America and Britain. It was a sign of protest against the established culture, and for women to cut their hair similarly was somewhat of a protest. It was at that time it was considered for women to wear trousers or jeans, that was considered no, that shouldn't be done, but they did it. They wanted to assert their identity differently from that which was they felt was imposed upon them by the society. But we all have an identity. Everyone in this world, for humans, it becomes more difficult. For animals, it's fairly easy because they're so much conditioned by their conditioning. A dog can only think like a dog. A cat can only think like a cat. We don't. So a human, they have identity, and I am this body, and that, from that misunderstanding expands the misunderstanding that I am a member of a certain family, I'm a member of a certain social group, I'm a member of a certain income group. And in the developed Western world, you can choose all different kinds of identities. People seek identity. Often we have in the modern world, this idea of find yourself, who is the real you? Because there are so many different kinds of dresses you can wear and different persona you can project. You know this word persona? It means the kind of personality you want to show yourself to be. It comes from the Greek meaning a mask, because in the dramas they used to have a mask, and one face would be smiling mask, and then another face would be a grimacing mask. And people don't know, where do I belong? What group? Where do I want to be? Where do I want to fit in? Is there anywhere to fit in? People seek a sense of belonging. It wasn't that identity crisis was not part of the traditional world. There was no such thing as an identity crisis. 100 years ago, someone growing up in this area, their identity, they never think what their identity is. It's just you're a villager in whatever it was 100 years ago. I don't know what it was. What country was this 100 years ago? Anyone know? Part of the Ottoman Empire? No, that was already broken up. Part of Yugoslavia? Kingdom of Croatia, Serbia, Slovenia, which later became Yugoslavia by adding Macedonia and Montenegro and Bosnia, I guess. So anyway, people grow up and they think I'm a Croatian or I'm a Serbian, and I'm male and a female. They didn't have any confusion about that. And they just expect that they'd be working in the fields with their father, and then they'd marry some village girl from the next village or something. They didn't have an identity crisis. They knew who they were. Today, people are not so sure, because there are so many things you can be, and there are so many things you can identify with. So people identify themselves as a punk, or when I was
a kid, growing up in England,
there were mods and rockers. mods, young people were divided into two groups which would fight each other. I heard in Croatia that on the coast they're shocked by the British being hooliganistic, but it's nothing new. So, yeah, the mods, they would ride on motor scooters and have not very long hair and dress in a certain way, and the rockers would have longer, greasy hair with lots of Brill cream and have leather jackets and ride on motorbikes, and they'd fight each other. There were different groups. But people would join that group to identify. Identify with a group. Maybe one reason in psychology they say people join a group like a Hare Krishna movement or become a Muslim to have a sense of identity, belonging to a group, which is possibly part of the whole package of becoming a Hare Krishna devotee in Europe, where it's not the predominant culture. There are so many identities. How many identities have we had? Before I was a snake, before I was a dog, before I was an Indra, before I was a worm in Indra's stool. I don't know if they have worms in stool up there, but anyway, worm in someone's stool. But our real identity is Krishna Das. Ami Siddha Krishna Das. E Kotha Bhule. Mayar nafar hoya chirodin bule. This is paraphrasing this from Jagadananda's Prema Bibarta. It's paraphrasing this. I am by nature a perfect servant of Krishna, but forgetting this, I've become the servant of Maya and I'm wandering for a long time, time immemorial. Impelled by desire. We get different bodies according to our desire. Our desire and we get what we want and what we deserve. So it's a mixture, and it's all processed by Krishna as Paramatma. We desire something, we get it. We might not, according to our level of deserving, we get what we want. I've given this example many times. Someone may desire to be a great leader and respected by others. So in his next life, that desire may be fulfilled. But if he's impious, he may become the leader of a pack of dogs. So he gets the being a leader, but it's a leader of a pack of dogs. And we have so many desires. Hoya maya das kori nana obhilash. When we become the servant of maya instead of the servant of Krishna, we have so many desires. Bahu shaka hi anantas cha. So many even branched off desires, and one desire leads to another. But our desire can never be satisfied. This emptiness in our heart cannot be satisfied unless and until we identify ourselves as the servant of Krishna, because only Krishna can satisfy us. Nothing else can satisfy us. It's the illusion of Maya that we will be satisfied by various kinds of sensual experiences. But the mind and the body combined have an unlimited capacity, or there are unlimited kinds of sensual experiences. Huge variety. And in human life, we're open to so many sensual experiences, especially in the present age. I was speaking about that the other day, how previously in the village, people would have a very limited spectrum of possible experiences. And they didn't even have any idea of eating food other than food locally produced. They couldn't even imagine. Maybe some dried fish came up from the coast as a special treat. But the possibilities of sensual experience is very limited. But in the present age, that's been developed, increased exponentially with the globalization and bringing products from one place to another and advertising and all kinds of foods we can enjoy. Sex can be enjoyed in various ways which previously most people probably didn't even imagine. Seeing, with YouTube we can see so many things. And we identify with a certain set of sensual experiences, or the kind of sensual experiences we gravitate toward. As humans, in the human body, we have a wide variety of sensual possible sensual experiences, and we tend to gravitate toward a particular set of sensual experiences, and then that shapes our identity. For instance, someone could be a gourmet. They're very interested in eating high-class food. That means meat, fish, and eggs cooked in a high-class way. In a very fine way. You have to have a gourmet chef, Michelin, 5 stars. And then you identify yourself as a connoisseur of fine food, fine wine. Well, that's one kind of way of identifying yourself with the tongue. Or you could identify yourself as I eat. There's a previous president of the United States who was into promoting, yeah, I eat fast food, real American food, McDonald's. On the other end of the spectrum from the Michelin 5-star. I don't think McDonald's has any stars. I don't know, but probably not. So you can, even the kind of food you eat, that is a kind of identity, isn't it? The kind of class person you are. In North London, there used to be an area, I don't know if they still, they used to call it the Muesli Belt, because people living in that area were mostly kind of little, what's that, thinking of the good of the body, and instead of the traditional egg and bacon, if you could afford it, British breakfast, or Kellogg's cornflakes, if you couldn't afford it, then you would eat muesli for breakfast, and that's, you're more high class if you, and then more body, more conscious of the body, health conscious. So they used to, in, there was one area of North London, they used to call it the Muesli Belt. And in Scotland, oats for breakfast, and probably for lunch also, and probably for dinner. Oats. A real Scotsman eats oats, so that's part of your national identity. And no milk. You don't, salt and water. No milk. A real Scotsman, there's a saying, a real Scotsman doesn't eat oats with milk. So if you're going to be a real Scotsman, for all it's worth, the Scottish are very, very proud of being Scottish. I don't know why, but they are. Most people are proud of their national identity. Foolishness. But it's part of being a Scotsman. You've got to eat oats without milk. What else? I am a very moral person. sense of identity, uphold your prestige. Or someone may present themselves, I'm very immoral. See me. I don't care for all your morals. I'll do what I like. I'll take your daughter and your wife and ha ha, what can you do? People want to be identified as rich, prestigious, and their foolish desires to be seen as rich and prestigious is exploited by all these companies that make branded products, and they have fancy handbags, and they sell them for a huge price when it's just a piece of plastic with some special name on it. That's all. But because the brand name is there, and they don't produce them in large quantities, only in a limited number. So you get your prestige by showing off your handbag. Or it used to be in Bangladesh, I used to see that if someone bought a foreign pair of jeans, which was very expensive, the tab would come on the back, like Levi's, that would be on the back, on this part here. I don't know if you remember, right? It's there. So, but it wouldn't be seen very well there, so they'd take it off and put it on their knee. So people can see. They want to be identified as someone who is able to afford a foreign pair of jeans. Just look at me. Proud aristocracy. Proud. I am proud to be British. I am proud to be Croatian. I am proud to be Czech. And so on. I am proud to be Slovak, or whatever it may be. If you haven't heard of Slovakia, don't worry. We identify with what we own. This is mine. I, me, and mine. Aham, mamiti, paramo. This. We identify with our abilities. I am a good cook. I am a good mridanga player. I speak very nicely. I sing very nicely. I can ride a motorbike very quickly, very skillfully, perform tricks on my motorbike. Look at me. This is my... You should know. When people look at me, they say, oh, that's the one who rides the motorbike so quickly, right? We identify with our job. I work. I am a postman. I'm the local postman. I do the work very well. I deliver the packets to the people. We identify with our church, our political party. That's a big thing in America now. They're very much divided, Republican against Democrat. We identify with, you don't see much of this in Croatia, but with the color of your skin. That's a big thing in America, again, whether you're white or black or yellow or whatever. Especially the white-black divide is there. So, you hate gypsies. Well, that's not only in Croatia. It's everywhere. Oh, you do? You have gypsies. They're dark-skinned, yeah. You're not supposed to hate them, even though they rob everything you have. But it's not politically correct to hate them. Gypsies very strongly identify themselves. They keep them for centuries. They've kept themselves as a group, separate from the surrounding culture. Jews also, wherever they go, they keep themselves as a strong group, separate. they interact with the society as much as they need to do their business. Otherwise, especially these Hasidic Jews, you don't get them here. And so they have their hair hanging down. You don't get them here, I don't think. They're in places where there's more money. Lots of money. Yeah, that's where they are. You'll find them in London, in New York, and of course in Israel. They're the chosen people. That's what they think. This YouTube video, when it goes out, could get deleted for that. For being anti-Semitic. Just making an observation. That sense of identity. And if someone's a gypsy and they go outside their group, or an Orthodox Jew and they go outside their group, they get a lot of pressure. It's not appreciated at all. Very strong pressure to remain within the group and keep up that identity. And you have to marry within the group. You identify with so many things. But it's what we identify with defines our identity in our own minds and in that of others. But it's not just one thing. Because every human is a complex set of desires. So we can have various facets of our personality. We could be very well behaved at home and very badly behaved outside. A good Jain at home. Those from India, there's no one here from India. Oh, there is. Kind of. They're very strict. No meat, no fish, no eggs, no onions, no potatoes. At home and outside, not. So different that you identify it. When you go with your Jain friends to the lowest class meat restaurant, and at home you're a strict Jain. It could be, for instance. It's not that all Jains do that. I'm just giving an example. You could be a good Catholic. Let's think of something realistic for Croatia. You're a good Catholic. To be a good Croatian, you have to be a good Catholic. Is that right? That's part of the national identity. A good Croatian means a good Catholic, and you're interested in football. You support a certain football team, Lika United or something. I don't know what they are. And what else do you do? You go on holiday to the coast and you like a certain kind of wine, is it? If you're more sophisticated, the kind of alcohol you drink, right? Is it? No, everyone drinks the same. Beer. Oh. Well, but beer is for everyone, but if you're more sophisticated, you drink wine, is it? Yeah. And then there are people who are into spirits and fine brandy and all that kind of thing. So you identify multiple. Then you may be an intellectual. People who go to football games, they're not intellectuals, mostly. I don't know, but it used to be. Then intellectual, and you're interested in art and poetry and music, and good music. What kind of music? Everyone identifies with some kind of music, isn't it? What kind of music you're into that shapes your identity? And on and on and on and on. All false identifications. You have to identify with something. That's part of being alive. You can't avoid it. But by identifying with various things, we solidify our position within illusion. Because Jiveshwarup hoy Krishna Nitya Das, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And by accepting material designations, we forget that. And we are helped in forgetting that by the power of Maya. Maya helps us to forget Krishna, because we want to forget Krishna. And we forget Krishna in various ways, in various lives, in various forms. We're all forgetting Krishna. You know the story of Indra, who insulted his guru Brihaspati and was cursed by Brihaspati to become a pig. From the status of Indra to that of a pig. So after some time, Brihaspati saw that the heavenly world is not going on very well. You need a king, Indra, you have to call him back. So he came back to call Indra in the body of a pig. Okay, I'm withdrawing the curse, now you come back to heaven. And Indra in the form of a pig said, what do you mean? What do you mean? I've got my wife, children, everything very nice. Heaven, this is heaven. Lots of mud and got Mrs. Pig. Sow, they're called sows in English. I've got my sow, I've got my children love me. I've got a nice farmer, loves me very much, gives us nice food. We used to, again, going back to the old days, we used to keep all the throwouts from the kitchen, leftover food and the carrot peels, and throw it in the slop, can for slop. And the farmer would come around, drive around, and bring us eggs, and we'd give him the slop, all the rotten leftover food, for feeding the pigs. They love it. And they get fat. So Indra, in the form of a pig, he said, what heaven? What can be better than this? No anxiety. It's great. And then Brihaspati showed him. You see that farmer, he's feeding you nicely, looking after you nicely. See what he does. So the farmer took away the Mrs. Pig, cut her throat, then cut the throats of all the little pigs, and said, Indra, you ready to come now? Okay, I'm going. But he had to be subjected to detachment. Immediate. You don't belong here. This is your fate. You have to suffer. You think you're very happy, but the person you think is most kind to you is kind to you because he's preparing to kill you. But the point of this story is that Indra, the position of highest happiness in the material world, attained after so many pious activities, Shatakratu, one who has performed 100 horse sacrifices, which is not at all easy to. One has to be a very pious and powerful king to perform even one horse sacrifice. If one performs 100 horse sacrifices, he can get the position of Indra. But then when Indra went to the body of a pig, he thought, this is the best. You don't see worms in stool in this country, I don't think. The worm in stool, if he's removed from the stool, he'll feel as if his rights have been violated and he'll crawl back to the stool. Because of identifying with that body, identifying with the situation. So, we are advised to withdraw this, to understand our actual identity as a servant of Krishna, and withdraw the senses from unnecessary interaction with the sense objects. Remembering everything in this world is temporary. This body is temporary. I am a Croatian farmer, and this is my house, these are my children, this is my car. Everything is temporary. Even our greatest pleasures and even our greatest pains, they're all temporary. So forget all that. Of course, as long as we're in this world, we have to adjust to the present situation, but we should remember our eternal situation. Then control our senses. Don't follow our urges, our material urges to enjoy this world. Hear about Krishna regularly. Understand, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. We dream that we can be happy by living in this world and manipulating, adjusting this, adjusting that. But all our dreams end in sorrow, end in death. And again, we have to take another painful birth, another identity, a false identity. All our schemes for becoming happy, they don't work. Or even if they apparently work, they're all smashed. Mrityu sarva harash chaham. We have to die and leave them all behind. All that we endeavored so hard for. Generally, that we see the rule in this world is that the more we endeavor to be happy, the more we endeavor to enjoy our senses, the more we become entangled in so many problems. And even if we make elaborate plans to solve all our problems, another set of problems come. And often, by making schemes to solve our problems, we end up with more problems than we started with. And a great example of that is the mechanized civilization. We have more problems than the simple living, high thinking, or even simple living and no thinking. We have more problems nowadays than we had previously. So, Jiveshwarup hoy Krishna Nitya Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Somehow or other, at some unknown time in the remote past, I was in the spiritual world. I left. Controversial point. Okay, well, I'm here somehow or other. I'm here. I'm covered by Krishna's illusory energy. I don't know my real happy position is at the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. Instead, I'm going from one fearful situation to another in the material world, suffering. We're chasing after happiness and suffering and suffering and suffering. And because of my desires, I'm thrown into one body after another, again and again and again. Kobu Raja, Kobu Praja, Kobu Kit. Kudra. Sometimes I'm a king, sometimes I'm a regular citizen, sometimes I'm an insect, sometimes I'm just some insignificant being. Kobu Sharge, Kobu Mate. Sometimes I'm in heaven, sometimes on earth. But wherever I go, impelled by my desires, I'm sent here and there. But I suffer. I go on suffering, and just wherever I go, I'm in the same illusion, just in different forms, just carried along, not understanding my position, forgetting my eternal nature, forgetting, no idea. Most living beings in this world have no idea of Krishna and our eternal relationship with him. So due to this ignorance of our spiritual nature, of our happy position at Krishna's lotus feet, we run after material enjoyment. We just think it's completely normal to chase after material enjoyment which simply causes us suffering. Again and again, we're kicked by Maya, frustrated in our attempts to enjoy in this world. But being insane, we go on trying and we don't even care how much pain we put others into in the course of our trying to be happy. I want to enjoy this material world, and giving pain to others, that doesn't matter. And even we find many good, nice people who are very polite, well-behaved, helpful to others, but they never think that what they're eating means an animal had to be killed. They just don't factor it in. They don't consider what horrible things they're doing just to enjoy this body. So we perform all kinds of horrible activities, and other living beings perform horrible activities toward us. And this is material life. Pain, causing pain to others, and others causing pain to us out of ignorance, based on a desire to enjoy that which we cannot enjoy. Our constitutional position is to be a servant of Krishna. So constitutionally, we cannot enjoy matter. But we don't know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is informing Sanatana Goswami. Up until we get this instruction, we simply have to suffer. Unlimitedly. It just goes on and on and on. We see so many people are suffering. Whoever is in a particularly distressed position, they always think, I'm the most distressed person. I'm suffering so much. People feel so much. I didn't realize there could be so much pain in life. But they don't know there are other people who are suffering much, much more. As gurus, we see people come and Shuno he ama dukera kahini. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, listen to my story of distress. Everyone is says, sometimes in the course of wandering in this material world, someone who's a little in the human form of life, becoming a little intelligent, they start to think, well, actually this life is full of suffering. This material enjoyment simply causes misery. But then again they're sucked back due to that strong attraction of the senses to the sense objects. There is vairagya, sangshan vairagya, that when someone goes to the burning ghat and they see someone they've learned, someone they've known throughout their life, maybe their father or their cousin or whatever, and the body is burned, and they think, oh, that's it. I'm going to go to that also. So they feel a sense of, what am I doing in this world? And then the ceremony is over and they mix with their friends. I used to go to many funerals as a child, as an altar boy. You know what that is, right? You're Catholics, right? Altar boy. So I used to go to many funerals. Good, easy money. They give you some. I wasn't interested in the religious side, but I got. So there's a protocol while the coffin's being lowered into the grave. You have to look very somber, and the women snuffle. And then they all go to some hall which they've hired and say, oh, I didn't say, the last time I saw you was at so-and-so's wedding, wasn't it? Or was it so-and-so's funeral? Oh, I didn't go to that. Okay, and then they start drinking, and then they're all laughing and joking. Their renunciation, you've seen that also? Their renunciation doesn't last very long. Their feeling of detachment from the world. So like that, someone may come, I'm suffering so much, Oh, I better get out my beads. Where are my beads? They're buried under the beach paraphernalia. Where are they? Dig them out. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then, oh, it's holiday time. Time to go to the beach. Okay, let's go to the beach. And forget it all again. So, we Shravan Kirtan should go on daily. Shravana Kirtana Karo Anukar Ashata Pachala Chari. Give up all nonsense talk and go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Krishna's instructions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Don't run like an animal in the desert after a mirage. First, a mirage is a very good analogy, isn't it? Because it appears to be real, but it's not. And by chasing after it, we think we're going to get satisfaction, but we end up out in the desert, in the hot sun, without water, scorched to death. So we should ascertain very clearly what is the real water, what is the real oasis, and then go for it. Otherwise, lifetime after lifetime, we have to suffer. Just this one thing we have to understand, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Das Abhishas Koraleta Ardukarnai. Just understand this one thing. I'm a servant of Krishna eternally. Understand this, accept it, have faith in it. Finished. All suffering finished. Simple formula from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dante nitaya tirna kang padayane patya kritva chaka kushatam etad aham ravimi hai sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makarona vayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madhati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, that's it. Please go for a photo. We'll all identify as servants of Krishna.